Welcome back to Music's Journey podcast, where you can hear more about the artist, the band, the lyrics, and music. I am your host, Kim Sear. Before I jump into the interview with Renegade Station, there are a few things that I would like to go over first. If you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating, a review, and the more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show, and it really helps to grow the community that we are developing here. If you are someone who has recently found our podcast, welcome. We are really excited to have you here. Please make sure that you subscribe and stay tuned to the future episodes. To everybody listening, please take a snapshot and post this on your Instagram story and tag Music's Journey Podcast and Now and Then Magazine. I will feature you on the account and message you as well. Now, without further ado, here's my interview with Renegade Station.
Hi, this is Kent Nixon of Renegade Station. You're listening to the Music's Journey Podcast with my friend Kim Sear.
It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey Podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's her host, Kim Sear.
I am so excited about today's show. Despite all the challenges in this past year, the award-winning quartet known as Renegade Station has been busy writing, recording, and releasing new music. Kent Nixon, lead guitar and vocals for Renegade Station, is here to talk about the brand new single, Free, Free, Free. So welcome to the show, Kent Nixon.
Good. Thank you very much. Boy, I feel kind of important. I want you guys to introduce me on everything.
Hey, we can do that for you, not a problem.
That would be awesome. Usually from the rest of the band, it's okay, and here's Butthead that plays guitar and sings.
Oh, no. See, I haven't heard that. I usually say things like, you know, the monkeys and stuff like that in the zoo. I'll call them Baby Butthead. So it's the first time I've heard Butthead in a long time.
Well, we're a pretty close group, so we really rip into each other when we get a chance.
Well, you know what? That's the part of having fun and just that sister and brotherly love, right, in the group?
Exactly.
Are you in the car?
I am in my truck. Out in the middle of the bush at Rocky Mountain House.
Oh, nice. Oh.
Nice.
How have you been?
We've been really good. Of course, we're like everybody else in the entertainment business. We are we're dealing with, you know, the isolation and, you know, but not being able to perform.
Mm-hmm. We miss you guys live.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate that. It's one of those things you take for granted, right? You don't realize you miss it until you can't do it anymore. And even on our Facebook Lives and that kind of stuff, it's just so nice to be able to play together and play off of one another, which we're really proud of being able to do, and I think we do it very well.
Well, the fans love it, we love it, and we look forward to it every time you guys are doing it, so it's just awesome to see, you know, you guys being able to do that during the time, you know, that it's been this last year. It's been so tough. Now, the rest of the group consists of Luann Cart on bass and vocals, and Scott McKnight on drums and vocals, and Russ Carl on guitar, but he also does the mandolin and vocals as well. We just wanted to make sure we just want to make sure the rest of the international listeners out there know exactly who everybody is. So you are the other part, the other quarter of the quartet. What a ride you guys have been on, you know, taking country fans since this group got together. It's been absolutely amazing.
Thank you very much. You know, we've been playing together for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Once we started to play and work smarter and not harder, it really made a difference. We were so lucky to have signed with Sirolme Entertainment. As a managing factor, as for pointing us in the right direction, we couldn't have asked for more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we needed. And then just the rest of it, I mean, we really pride ourselves on our chemistry together as a group.
That's one thing you guys do extremely well. Like, the chemistry is there. You can't miss it. And that's what the fans see instantly. And the harmonies with you guys.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
When I take a look at what you guys have accomplished so far, you know, as a group, you guys have done so much. But what is the greatest accomplishment after all the success for you guys?
obviously, when we did Who's Gonna Love Me Tonight mm-hmm. and won Single of the Year for it at Country Music Alberta, was pretty awesome. We'd had a little bit of a dry spell before then, but it was our first award as Renegade Station, like since we had rebranded, you know, because lots of people know we used to be called Domino, mm-hmm. and, you know, we had moderate success with that, but it always seemed like the name just didn't quite fit. And when time came, when we were able to reassess ourselves and come up with, you know, a new title, one that represented us, it was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. And what was behind the name Renegade Station? Tell everybody about that.
You know, like I said, Domino just didn't seem to fit anymore. We'd kind of outgrown that name and started brainstorming. You know, we sat down like a lot of songwriters and authors do. You write down, sat down with a pad of paper and a pen and maybe a beverage or two or six.
Always helps.
Well, inspiration. And we sat down and figured out who we were, what we were, who we wanted to become, and what we wanted to represent. Now, we are incredibly proud of our hometown of Stettler.
And they love you.
In that, well,
boy, do they, you know, that's all you hear. Everything before Renegade Station is Stellar, right?
Well, we're so proud of Stettler and Stettler County, and I mean, all the people that supported us for over the years. So Stettler, I don't know if everybody knows this, but we've got a working steam train and locomotive excursion based out of there called Alberta Prairie Steam Tours or Alberta Prairie Tours. And it's one of those things that kind of defines our town.
That is so cool.
When people think of Stettler, they think of the steam train. So the station part was kind of a gimme. But the Renegade part, I mean, I know you know lots of artists.
Mm-hmm.
They're not normal. They're not.
See, you said it. I didn't people. Say it. You said
yeah,
it.
Well, call a spade a spade.
Yep.
And that's good. I mean, that's good. That's why they're creative and lots of times self-destructive, but it's all part of that creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got talking about it, you know, what are we? Well, you know, we don't normally fit in with anybody. We're, you know, with everybody, we're kind of a little bit renegade. And it was like, you know, that's got it.
Yeah, right that's there. Cool. You guys have been together for so long. To see the success that you guys have had, what do you think the key has been for everything for you guys to be this relevant, still going strong, and if not better than ever?
This late into the game?
Well, it's better than ever. You guys have really developed along the way. You know, when you guys were looking for your sound, and I remember that when you guys first started out. And once you develop that, as you said, with the right manager, with the right team behind you, it makes all the difference in the world for you guys to believe enough in your own music. But it's like you're playing now everything you do, your live shows, everything you live and breathe. You're letting the music speak for itself.
Well, thank you. It's validation to hear that, because that's what we really try to do. You know, keep working hard, work smart. We try to be creative, but not just to be creative. We're quite blessed because, like, the other three people in the band are my three best friends.
That's nice.
You know, my almost 15-year-old son started playing drums at the age of three because of Scott.
Oh, cool.
He calls Lou and Russ, Auntie Lou and Uncle Russ. when Luann and Russ's daughter, Brooklyn, got married, I was the marriage commissioner for it.
Oh, that's so nice.
I guess we're a family.
And that's great.
Mean, other than the two that are married.
Yeah. Because that makes all the difference too, right? But it's just to be able to make all of that work, because in time, usually everybody, you know, they want to go off and do their own things, where you guys are stronger than ever. And it shows in the music and the brand new song that you have out right now, Free, Free, I knew I was going to do that.
I do it too, Kim. No worries.
You can do it.
Free, free, free.
There you go.
I'm telling you, you know, that song really speaks to the fans that, you know, it's just about being able to sit back and being able to take a breath and have the importance of not looking at the small things and forgetting what they really are, because the most important things is family and friends and making sure self-love, love each other. It's just such a fun, catchy tune.
Well, thank you. When that song came to us, you know, the arrangement was very similar, but it was only one voice. It was a male voice on the demo.
And yeah. Luann wanted that, right? She wanted to have both voices, right? Both perspectives?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's a Renegade Station trademark. Is it's not just about the one person singing. It's about the whole group. And if we could bring in my vocals and Luann's vocals, but then when the harmonies come in, I mean, it's like a punch in the chest.
Yeah.
It's like grabbing another gear.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're taking it to that next level, right? Because the raw, real lyrics that you guys are so known for, like, you keep it real. It's true to life. It's genuine. And, you know, that's the first thing you pick up anytime I listen to one of your songs. And that's what really resonates for me. And I'm sure it does for the fans too, because we're all going through the stuff that you guys are writing. It's just very uplifting to see a band continue to evolve like that. But as I said, you guys are just getting better and better.
Well, thank you. Practice makes perfect, and whatever, age before beauty and all of that.
I have to agree with that one.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. And myself as well. In fact, more. We're just really happy to be able to put out new, good music that's relevant to what we're facing right now. And then hope that everybody can appreciate it and identify with it. And with a song like Free, 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 it just makes it that much easier.
Mm-hmm. When you guys got pitched the song, tell us about that and why that was the choice. It's like, yep, we're going to do this one.
Originally, you know, and I guess it's still in progress, but we were booked at the very beginning of COVID to go in and start another album or an EP.
Mm-hmm.
Studio musicians were booked. Studio time was booked. We'd all taken, you know, given our notice at work that we were taking some time off to do this. And then COVID hit. And, I mean, we couldn't even get together as a band and practice and rehearse.
Yeah.
So everything got put on the back burner. Now, earlier this year when restrictions permitted and it was time to get back together, you know, and start working again, reviewing the songs, and Free, Free, Free had hit us so hard in the initial process of screening songs and choosing, and it wasn't really a decision at all. We already knew that was going to be the first cut. That was the song that had hit us the hardest, that had given us the most emotional feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And we were so lucky, and we've been so lucky, that really our hard decisions aren't that hard at all. You just go with your gut, go with your heart, and it's usually worked out very well.
You always know, don't you, when a song hits with, you know, the emotions that you need, but it moves you. And it's just know, when you have songs like this, it's great when they're pitched to you and you can turn around and put your own spin on it, and put your own touch to it.
Exactly. You know, one of the things about finding the songs that lend them to yourself is you got to go with your guts, got to go with your heart on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you believe it, right? Because it's real to you guys, and it's real to life, and that's your signature.
Exactly.
Right. So we're going to play this one right now. It's The Best Things in Life Are Free. So the message for Renegade Station, new single. Let's listen to it right now. It's called Free, 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 here on Music's Journey.
As long as I got a song to sing, six strings and a guitar, three chords and the truth to ring, bar stool and a bar, long as I got a song to sing.
Long as I got a prayer to pray and a place to fall down on my knees, find the silent words to say and face so I can see. Long as I got a prayer to pray. Stop your
next to me, no place we gotta go long as I got some air to breathe. My old man told me, back when I was too young to believe, it ain't the money that you're making, the stuff you're accumulating, the best things in life are free. Got a song to sing.
Pray to pray, air to breathe. Ain't nothing else I need.
Long as I got you to love. My old man told me, but girl, it's you that makes me believe. It's the loving that we're making. It's the giving, not the taking. The best things in life are free, 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 free. You and me on the open road, Memphis on the radio, headed down to the Sunshine Coast. Free, free, free.
You and me on the open road, Memphis on the radio, headed down to the Sunshine.
Free, free, free.
Renegade Station and Free, 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 their latest. Now let's get back to her interview with Renegade Station's lead vocalist and guitarist, Kent Nixon, also known as Butthead. Here's Kim Sear.
See, that's going to stick with you now that you said that, Race.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Okay, so talk about working with Johnny Gasparic. So he is such an amazing guy. He's worked with Gord Banford and George Canyon. He's worked with so many. An incredible producer and engineer.
Johnny is a treat because Johnny is not only is he supremely talented and just has incredible energy that, you know, it's like he infuses you with energy and just an all-around terrific guy. But one of the nicest things for us to work with Johnny is he is also the most positive person in the world.
Makes a difference, doesn't it?
Oh, it's huge. When you're tracking vocals, when you're, you know, you're in the sound booth and he's like, okay, that was awesome, but we're going to do this 3 more times and each time is going to get better. And he's right. And the little tweaks and the little things is what makes him a truly great producer. I mean, he's incredible. We can't imagine working with anybody else.
It's amazing when, you know, you have the song and you've got your ideas and you go into the studio and Johnny does that kind of work with you. It comes out so much different than what your original thought is, but it's just amazing at the end. Like, it's just master. Just incredible.
Yeah, and because we worked with him and have such a great relationship with him, it works both ways now. So we trust him and what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if we've got a suggestion, you know, on how to stack a vocal or whether the vocal should go high or low or whether it needs bagpipes or bongos or didgeridoo, he'll listen to it and take those suggestions seriously,
mm-hmm.
which just makes us like him more.
Well, that's the power of being able to understand each other. He knows each and every one of you and what your capabilities are. And he can read
exactly.
that and know when he's got a new song sitting in front of him, hey, you know what? He knows where to tweak it, and so do you. You know exactly where you guys, because you worked with him for so long, it goes the other way too. So it's just a perfect match, and I'm really glad you guys have found that.
It really is. Johnny and Angie, our manager, are as much a part of Renegade Station as we four members. Responsible for our sound, responsible for how things have been going. Dave Temple as well, manager of MCC Recording Studio. All of those people, our team and our families as well, are so responsible and deserve credit,
mm-hmm.
really deserve credit for where this band has gone in the last couple of years.
It's nice to hear as well, because, you know, a lot of fans don't realize the work that goes behind just one song, let alone an album. And it's just the people behind that are doing all the job. Like, they hear the band, but they don't get to understand, you know, when you're going in and working with producers like that, your manager, everybody, like the studios, all of it. There's so many people involved that make that magic working with you guys. And I'm glad you gave them a shout out, because that's really important.
Well, we're quite honored, you know, to be able to, well, to have built our team to include these people.
That's amazing. So,
well, truth hurts. It's, you know.
You've been working really hard on new music and your new EP. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
We've been working on songs for the last 2 years. Some of them are pitches. Some of them are originals, because we're trying to be as open as we can about it. Just trying to find the best music for Renegade Station. And as soon as we get the chance, we're going to head back to the studio and hit some more. And then hopefully by then restrictions will be lifted and we can get back out to playing live shows, which is what we need.
Thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
They also said it's Mr. Butthead to us.
You know, so it's funny because Lou Ann and I often get mistaken for siblings.
Oh.
I don't think we look that much alike, but we act like a pair of jackasses to each other all the time. People just assume.
Yeah, they must irritate the crap out of each other, so they must be related.
They must be related.
All right, so let's do the burning questions portion of the interview. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what is your favorite moment on stage so far? Which stage and why?
Two of them stand out. One is at K-Days, Klondike Days, where we opened for Kip Moore a couple years ago. Just an amazing, amazing stage, huge crowd, and we were just totally spot on as a band that day. The whole thing came together. It was perfect.
When it comes to the live shows, as I said, we all love you guys live. It's just one thing that is just amazing to see. It's just some bands are good live and some bands just aren't as good. They're better in studio, but you guys are amazing live.
Oh, well, thank you. If you would have seen us when we first started, it was like four posts on the stage. Nobody moved.
So if one of you fell over, would that be like the domino effect?
It would have been exactly like the domino effect.
So when we're taking pictures and stuff like that, we used to joke, because John and I both do the pits as well as, you know, everything else when it comes to the photography end of it. But when everybody's standing still in one spot, it's like, okay, well, maybe they'll make a different face.
So, <Yeah. laughs>
but you guys are like, you guys are so good. What is the difference that you've learned in all this time, you know, when it comes to performing? What do you guys do in preparing, you know, to going onto the stage?
Well, a lot of it is practice. I mean, if you want to look comfortable moving around on stage and you're not, you need to practice it until it's not uncomfortable anymore, until it's natural. And then the next thing you know, you're moving around, you're making your moments, you're trying to build the show without even realizing what you're doing. So it's one of those things, nobody's natural at it. And the more you practice, we've had some really, really incredible stage instruction, you know, in the last several years. Probably the best has been Tamara Beattie.
Oh.
Tamara is so incredible and so intuitive and such a genuinely beautiful person. She's so sweet, but she analyzes you as a person. And, like, Russ isn't a big show-off, whereas Luann and I are, like, camera hogs. So when you're building your stage show, she takes that into account. And she's like, you know what? You don't like doing moves, big moves. So make them small. We'll just, and instead of, you know, you having to step straight out to the edge of the stage, just everybody else pull back a little bit and give him the spotlight. And it's little things like that. And
that's great.
Yeah, it's not so much focusing on that person, but it's the rest of the band stepping back just a little bit to support them.
That's amazing. And, that's really cool.
She's so incredible at teaching and instructing, and I mean, yeah, one of the nicest people you're ever going to meet.
Yeah,
and
I think that's the first time I've heard that, you know? Like, I've never heard of anybody that we've interviewed yet. They've never said anything like that. So it's nice, you know, to hear that's you've got, you know, somebody that's giving you those kinds of directions, because I know what that's like to get up on stage. Like, it's different when you're in a small group. Like, when you're in a bar, it's different because it's just a more intimate feel. But when you're in a big audience like that, it can be so intimidating.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. The other great thing about Tamara, I mean, she's the vocal coach and stage coach for The Voice.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and a Calgary girl. I mean, but they take her down to L.A. to do both The Voice and The Masked Singer.
Oh, so very cool.
She's got some pretty good cred there.
Oh, that's amazing. Because we watch that show all the time.
Yeah, and so Blake and Gwen and, you know, Randy and Simon and all of those guys are terrific, but they're giving pointers, but it's not necessarily them that's working with, you mm-hmm. know, with these people all the time. You know, Tamara's the behind-the-scenes person, and she's just incredible. I can't give her enough credit.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm glad you mentioned her. Really glad you mentioned her. What is the funniest prank that has been done by the band member or done by a group or artist that you've been on stage with? We got to have these fun stories.
We have a lot of them because, like I said, we're always jackassing around. You know, I may or may not have photoshopped some pictures of Luann while she's sleeping and, you know, take them to friends and family. Russ was doing a guitar solo the one time and went out to go and do it, and I actually reached between his legs and grabbed the bottom of his guitar, and he didn't know what the hell was going on. Scotty, I mean, he's armed, right? Like, he's got sticks, so, I mean, you can't really get too close to him or he'd whack you one, but we're always doing something like that. The people enjoy it, like the crowd really enjoys it, and you know, sometimes it's pretty easy for us to actually even forget that we've got a crowd out there. We're having so much fun on stage.
Oh, that's really cool, because when you gel like that and that chemistry is there, as I said, it's just, that's got to be such a relief for all of you working together. Yeah. And like you said, you guys are so close and really good friends.
Oh, well, thank you. We hope it comes across, you know, that we're having fun, because we genuinely are. There's always the random hip checks when they're not kind of expecting it too, so it just goes back and forth.
Is there any band that's played a prank on you or any artist?
Yes and no. Like, we're friends with a lot of people, right? Especially, you know, Alberta Country Music Association or Country Music Alberta, as it's now known. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we're friends with the Dungarees and we're friends with Nice Horse and, you know, Bradley Tucker and, you know, when the Boom Chukka Boys, when they were, you know, full bore, hardcore, giving her, we would go out and, you know, watch them at each other's shows and that kind of stuff. So there's always a little jackassing around going on. especially between us guys. So yeah, there's, you know, you'd be taking a drink of beer and somebody will, lift your elbow a little bit and you drench yourself. I mean, I'm a klutz anyway. So it's always something like that. You know, it's hard to nail down because it's just constantly happening.
That's good. Okay. I'm going to ask this question now that you just said this. Tell us something that you've done that was rebellious as a kid.
Oh, well, I guess the statute of limitations is done now, and and I'm too old to spank.
Oh, don't ever say that. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I grew up in a farm just north of Stettler. There were six of us kids. I'm the oldest. And, you know, kind of a rural area. The town that I went to school in, junior high and elementary, we had 100 kids in the school. The population of Dunalda is 300 people. Mm. You know, there's a couple thousand in the surrounding area, but Dunalda, which is, you know, that's the stomping grounds, you know, not very many. And like I said, we were crazy-ass little farm kids, so there was perhaps some borrowing of the vehicles and going to visit the neighbors when Mom and Dad didn't quite know that we were gone or even legally entitled to do so. And then we hit the ditch, and then we had to get pulled out. And several weeks later, one of my sisters ratted me out.
See, boys must have fun, right?
Looking back at it now, you know, now that I have a 14-year-old son.
He's probably looking, going, okay, this is on air, Dad. Now I can go ahead and do this stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. I really want to give myself a slap. At the same time, I'm kind of oddly proud for being able to do it.
My son did the same thing, you know, when it come to taking my car, because I'd be sitting there and I'd be working away and I'd just see my car going backwards down the road to go get the mail. I asked him to go get the mail, and there goes my clutch. There goes my brand new car. And yeah, he did it to me all the time.
Yeah. You know, it is a rite of passage, I guess, for young rural kids. And you can't be really too upset with them because, I mean, we did it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, I was an angel. I was an angel. My halo, you know, I might have kept it in the closet a lot, but I still brought it out to polish every once in a while, right?
Yeah. My parents went prematurely gray, or at least my dad did. So.
Tell us something about you that is your favorite personality trait that you have.
I can project confidence. I'm not always that way. In fact, sometimes I'm scared shitless, but I can fake it and make it.
Okay.
If I need to.
Perfect. What is a favorite song of yours of all time?
Favorite song of all time, Everything That Glitters Is Not Gold. That's old Dan Seale's song.
Yeah. Mm. Beautiful song.
Great song.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things that it just chokes you up right away. And the other one is Dan Seals and Marie Osmond doing Meet Me in Montana. Still one of my favorite songs. Luann and I sing it all the time. It's just, it's one of those, it's such an incredible story. Both of them are.
Great choices. Now, what if you were to look on, you know, on the bus and anybody is the most outspoken prankster on there, who is it? And what do they
That's
do?
That's me.
That's you?
That would be me. And, you can't go to sleep on the tour bus if Kent has a Sharpie. It's at your own risk. Just saying.
What do you draw on their faces? Tell us.
I usually fill in the spot in between their eyebrows.
Please tell me that's a marker that is washable.
Not always.
Uh-oh.
Or just draw on their arms. I mean, I'm quite a... quite a child when it comes right down to it. I guess I should grow up one day, but I will when my grandkids do.
What is your favorite lyrics of all time? What song?
There's so many. Probably as a lyricist, you can't really beat Ian Tyson. The guy's got just such a knack for telling a story. Both, you know, Ian Tyson and Tom Russell, and I know they write together quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Those old cowboy story songs, or even just a simple love song like Four Strong Winds. If people can sing and do, you know, and write an incredible melody, but tell a story from start to finish, it's just such an incredible gift, something that I try to emulate myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that are masters at it are, I mean, they've honed their craft for years and years. So, Ian, yep.
Ian Tyson's Cowboyography album is one of my favorites.
You know, that album came out in 1984. I got to see Ian in 1985.
Ooh, nice.
And when I saw him that day, it was at a concert. They had a big kind of a jamboree or festival at Canada Olympic Park in Calgary. And I went down there with my uncle. And it almost made you want to weep. The stories and the songs and the incredible music. And I mean, he had one of the greatest bands in Canada at the time, and the whole feel. And because I knew those songs so well, you know, 50 years ago and Navajo Rug, and it was almost surreal. It was incredible.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Wow. Who would be an artist that you would love to spend just one night partying with and just having a great time, who would it be and why?
Well, let's do this for the band. Because if I didn't say Gordon Lightfoot for Luann,
she'd kill you.
I'd get shot. And myself too. I mean, the guy was amazing, and I mean, he was kind of a bad bastard too.
Yes, back he in was. The
day. So yeah, hey Gordon, tell me what went on, and what's the truth behind this? Come on, you can tell me.
Oh, if you could read his mind.
Oh, I knew that was coming. Exactly. I knew that was coming.
And in the same vein, Ian Tyson. I mean, to sit down and drink several glasses of whiskey and red wine with him, and just get the dirt, you know.
Nice.
That would be incredible.
Love that answer. That's really cool. What is your favorite snack food that you have to have on tour?
Oh, for me, it's chips. I'm a chipaholic. Hickory sticks.
Oh, I haven't had those in forever. Yeah.
Yep. Or cheesies, not the cheese puffs or Cheetos, but the Hawkins cheesies.
The big ones.
Yeah, they're the staple. And then with Lou, we need to have Pep and Chad.
So what else is on the riders for you guys? Come on, share some.
You know, we always try and keep it pretty simple. We're not those people. In fact, we did have a fairly crazy rider at one time, and it was like 48 beer and a, you know, dry rum and vodka, and, you know, because we didn't know how much crew we would have with us, or, you know, and we'd want to kind of look after these people. But then we go to a small show, and there's still 48 beer and a bottle of rum and a bottle of rye and a bottle of vodka and a bottle of white wine for Luann, and it's like, we talk to our manager, and we're like, we need to change that rider. These people are going to think we're freaking drunks.
It's partying after the show.
so usually we're good with a case of beer and a case of water.
Nice. Okay. What is the funniest request or craziest request that you've gotten from a fan?
Song requests? Mainly because they knew us and have followed us for a long time, but I have to say, I do a pretty kick-ass cover of Dancing Queen by ABBA.
Wow. So. I would not have guessed that one. I got to see that. I've got to see that.
A little bit of trivia for you. That is the one song the Queen of England will dance to at a wedding. That's the only song she will dance to.
Really?
That's true, yeah. When that comes on, she has to get up.
She should.
See, now you need to put that one out there on YouTube and send it to the Queen, so she'll get up and boogie a little.
That would be perfect. I think you're onto something there.
All right. So again, remind everybody what shows you guys got coming up and what news you have music-wise.
We do our station nights every other week on Facebook on Wednesday evenings. On the opposite or corresponding Wednesday evenings, we do Match Game, and we get people from all over. We've had Wendell Ferguson, we've had Patrick Duffy from Toronto,
wow.
Jamie Warren. We've actually had the Harris Brothers from Storage Wars last weekend. We had Shane and
Stacy.
Lucy.
Yeah, I saw that one,
and was awesome. They were just, you know, the people have been so gracious, and they're just having fun, and so are we. We want everybody to have a good time.
Well, as I said, the live shows we all look forward to because you guys are so good at it. What is the biggest difference that you've found, you know, selling your music before when you first started out and today?
Well, we've definitely expanded our audience. Before, when we first started out, we sold an incredible amount of CDs immediately because it was our friends and family, and we've got fairly extended friends and family. Now, with everything being digital, you know, there's a lot of downloads. People don't necessarily buy albums or CDs anymore. They buy songs. So it's a matter of treating each single or a song that you're going to release as an entire album. I mean,
yeah.
You want to have nice pictures of it. You want to really put the polish on and make it worth people's money.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to spend that money.
Mm-hmm.
We're just so gratified and happy when they choose to. I mean, that's why we're here. We've never been in it to be rich or even be famous. We just want to share what we do.
And that's, I think, the biggest lesson when it comes to people that are veterans, you know, in the music industry and people that are just starting out, because, you know, it's that drive to be able to get on radio in the beginning and write music that suits the radio stations. And instead of just mm-hmm. doing what you love and writing for the music, and, you know, either the people like it or they don't, you can't worry about it. Because when you're playing what you love, that's what people resonate to. And it works every single time. But it's just hard when artists are first starting out. But they've had to really learn social media and probably have been doing it so much more than, you know, people that were selling songs on, you know, CD years ago. It's just changed so much with the format and being able to sell music today.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong, fame and fortune would be nice, but... At the end of the day, I get to go out and play gigs with three of my best friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, my family's involved. I've got a son who'll be 15 next month who's a better musician than I am.
Oh, wow. Is he going to start a band or is he in one already?
It's difficult in Stettler, of course, and, mm-hmm. and being 15, but he's always got friends over or they're jamming. There's constantly music happening at our place. So it's going to be incredible to see this next generation and what they're doing and how they do it. You know, and then we've got our extended family as well, like Drew Gregory, you know, who is with Serum Entertainment. Drew and his wife and their two boys are family. We go to gigs together. We're actually all going to an event this weekend, of course, restrictions permitting. Jordan Pollard
mm-hmm.
From Saskatchewan, we're short tail relatives, and those people have become family to us as well.
Oh, so, that's nice.
So to be able to hang out with those people, make music, and have fun and a good time is just incredible.
And the country community is so amazing. You know, it's so tight knit, and you know, it's just such an amazing genre, and how much people care about each other and support each other. You know, whether you're a new artist coming up or, you know, a veteran in the business, you guys are so amazing, you know, and just one group, like Canada really has stepped up to the plate when it comes to music and any genre out there. But country music is just such a special place.
Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. We've had some really good mentors as to that. I mean, obviously, we kind of pride ourselves on being genuinely nice people,
mm-hmm.
but when we were first getting started and taking the next step, Hey Romeo was CCMA Group of the Year, and they were so gracious.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy, you know, of course, you know, the rule of seven, I guess, or mm-hmm. or seven steps removed. My wife used to work for Stacy's husband, and we had mutual friends. I remember one time after the CCMAs, the Hey Romeo had done the songwriter circle, and Darren Gosnowski was walking out, and I said, "Hey, Darren, how's it going?" "Oh, really good, Kent." You know,
knew you right away.
How great they sounded, and we went out for beers. Mm-hmm. Went out, sat on a patio, and BS'd.
I've shot them a lot, you know, when they were playing, and they would always stick back at the end of the show, and we just sit around the fire and just play guitar. Like I've been sitting back. I've got pictures just sitting with them, and so many nights, you know, that they just welcome everybody over to their camp.
Yeah. And now that they've kind of put Hey Romeo on hold for a while, but now Darren and Rob have Jay Walker going, and we can't give them enough support. They're incredible band and incredible people. So.
Love those people. What is your favorite song to play around a campfire?
Oh, campfire song?
Mm-hmm.
Well, lately, it's been Free, Free, Free. and, you know, when we shot our video for that, we shot it at my place.
Oh, did you?
I live, you know, just a mile outside of Stettler. We've got an acreage there. We call it Kentana Acres. My wife's name is Tana, so
nice.
You see what I did there?
Yes, I do.
So that campfire scene where we're sitting around the fire and playing guitar and BSing is real. And it wouldn't matter if it was Scott and Lilas's or Lou and Russ's or my place. That's what we do.
That's awesome.
You know, sit around and have a couple beers and cook hot dogs and do things that that friends and family do. And we always have done that right from the beginning. So.
And that's exactly, you know, the memories that you want to have. And they're all free, right? It's just
exactly.
An amazing thing to be able to remember what we're all here to do. And so let's hope this summer that we spend a lot of time around campfires with, you know, family and friends and just being able to make those memories and just get back to nature and just get back to the real stuff. And that's family.
Amen.
Amen to that. So where can everybody contact you? Best place to go to get all your latest news and music?
If you go on the socials, we're on all of them. I don't know if our MySpace account is still open, but it's probably there someplace. But you can just go to renegadestation.com. If you Google Renegade Station, you'll come up with our smiling faces.
Oh, I hope you come back, Kent, because I would love to have you and talk a little bit more about the band in depth and what you guys have been doing. So that's what I would love to do so the fans can get to know you guys a little bit better.
Anytime.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We wish you all the very best, and we cannot wait to see what you guys come up with and all the live shows, because it's killer when you guys are on stage, and we miss it so much.
Sounds good.
So thank you once again. Say hi to everybody for us, and we really look forward to introducing this one to the UK, because we got a lot of UK fans out there that love Canadian country, so we're really looking forward to seeing how much they love Free, Free, Free.
Perfect. Thank you guys very much.
Thanks,
Take care, Kent. Thank you.
See you guys. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to my very special guest, Kent Nixon from Renegade Station, and their brand new single that's out, Free, Free, Free. What a great message. And just to remind us that, you know what, the little things do matter, and that's what we should be focusing on, and not all the stuff that we don't have. But everything that we do have around us that's really special, make those memories, get around those campfires, and watch that video of theirs right now. So it's really cool. Just getting back to the real life and things that feel good and feel like home. And a great message to be able to embrace. So I am Kim Sear here on Music's Journey. We got some great shows coming up for you with Danny Doucette, Dan Davidson, Jamie Warren is back with his brand new single. We got Jason Blaine, Cross Parallel, Stereos, Elise Saunders, Five Finger Punch. We got Megan Patrick. Jess is going to be here. We have possibly Daughtry, so we're really hoping to hear on that one. Christy Palace is back with another single. We've got Reuben Young, James Barker Band, Mackenzie Porter, and so many more. If you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show, and it really helps to grow the community that we are developing here. So if you're somebody who has just recently found our podcast, welcome. We are really excited to have you here, so please make sure you subscribe and stay tuned to future episodes. To everybody listening, take a screenshot and post it on your Instagram account and put it onto your stories. So tag Music's Journey Podcast and Now Then Magazine and Renegade Station. We'll give you a shout out on the next podcast. So thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Kim Sear here on Music's Journey. Stay safe and spread the love.
Once again, a great big thank you to Kent Nixon of Renegade Station for chatting with us today on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Google Podcast, Amazon Music, Spotify, Player FM, Deezer, TuneIn, Alexa, Podcast Addicts, and Podchaser. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.